You're just in time for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, a global outreach of the Christian Research Institute. Our purpose is to equip Christians in life and truth, encouraging you in your faith and equipping you intelligently to represent it to a world easily convinced by a corrosive culture intent on conquering your Christian faith. Equipped with truth in Christ, we're called to experience life to the full and witness to the world by His power working through us. This is a live program, and we invite your calls and questions. So dial toll-free 888-ASK-HANK. Numerically, that's 888-275-4265. Now, here's the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Randy, and a reminder that you can also contact us via the mail at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. I want to start the broadcast this Monday with a couple of remarks with respect to racial equality, because virtually everyone today acknowledges that the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. is one of the most influential advocates of racial equality America has ever produced, and yet few today seem aware of the reality that his sermons and his writings were actually shaped by Jesus Christ and the Christian Bible. In his famed Montgomery bus boycott speech, he said, "I want it to be known throughout the nation that we are Christian people. We believe in the Christian religion. We believe in the teachings of Jesus. The only weapon that we have in our hands this evening is the weapon of protest. That's all. The weapon of protest. Not the weapon of misinformation. Not the weapon of historical revisionism. Not the weapon of Marxist ideology. But the weapon of truth, rooted and grounded in the Jesus who was in his very person, the personification of truth." I thought about all of this and more when I first learned about the controversy surrounding DeSean Jackson. Jackson, of course, the enormously popular wide receiver of the Philadelphia Eagles. Unlike Martin Luther King Jr., Jackson is more than happy to traffic in misinformation, the kind of misinformation that foments bigotry and hatred. And that's hardly an overstatement. Consider, for example, a recent image offered up by Jackson to millions of his media devotees. It's the image of a page containing words purportedly from Hitler. The words read as follows: "The white Jews know that the Negroes are the real children of Israel. The white Jews will blackmail America. They'll extort America. Their plan for world domination won't work if the Negroes know who they were." What many of his media followers are blithely unaware of is that these very words are a classic example of fake news. In fact, ex-Eagles defensive end Chris Long called Jackson's post a disaster. He went as far as to say, quoting Hitler is bad business, but quoting fake Hitler quotes is like the cherry on top. A disaster indeed. Well, why? Because the quote, replete with its racist implications, is actually from the dark mind of Jeremy Shorter. Jeremy Shorter, who contends that white Jews prevented America from realizing that black people are, well, the real children of Israel. Shorter infamously contended that his own true heritage stems back to the ancient biblical Hebrew Israelites, and he says that it's important to identify the 12 tribes of Israel today as people of color because these are the Most High chosen people, and that the heritage of black people has been suppressed by the school system, religious institutions, scholars, and many more to keep our people from knowing their true nationality. This, of course, is not only untrue, it foments hatred and disunity, which tragically is precisely what black Hebrew Israelites are in the business of fomenting. They're a subversive group who have infiltrated African American communities with a very false gospel, and they're getting away with it in large part because of biblical and historical illiteracy on the part of Christians who should know better than to fall for a dogma espousing favored races, a notion that contradicts the very essence of Christianity. Well, like many brands of black Hebrew Israelism, Shorter outrageously contends that America is Babylon and that its destruction has been prophesied in the book of Revelation. Deshaun Jackson not only forwards the radical racial bigotry of black Hebrew Israelism, but he also lauds the Nation of Islam, including its leader, Louis Farrakhan. Incredibly, Jackson posted his admiration for Farrakhan, along with a clip from a recent speech in which he accused Bill and Melinda Gates of pursuing a coronavirus vaccine in order to, well, to depopulate the earth. Jackson went so far as to say of Farrakhan, "This man powerful." He went on to urge devotees to listen to Farrakhan's 4th of July speech so as not to be blinded, to know what's really going on. As Deshaun Jackson must surely know, Farrakhan and the Nation of Islam are not only manifestly anti-Semitic, they are transparently anti-white. Farrakhan ironically praises Hitler as a great man and compares Jews to termites. Whites, says Farrakhan, were grafted into existence 7,000 years ago by a scientist named Dr. Jacob, who created the white beast inherently deceptive and murderous. In sharp contrast to MLK Jr., Farrakhan dubs Christianity the white man's religion. Well, after being confronted with the implications of his racist offering, Jackson apologized and deleted his posts. He promised to do better, adding, "What I posted, well, I didn't mean it to the extent that you guys took it." So people are misinterpreting what he clearly posted, evidently. But more than an apology is needed in the first place. What is really needed is an apologetic, a defense of the faith, a Christian response to the black Hebrew Israelite movement, as well as to Louis Farrakhan and the Nation of Islam, which is precisely what is offered in the Christian Research Journal and now on the web at equip.org. In fact, two articles immediately spring to mind. The first article is titled "The Origin and Insufficiency of the Black Hebrew Israelite Movement." It's written by Jimmy Butts. And the second, titled "Hate Begotten of Hate, Louis Farrakhan and the Nation of Islam" by Joseph Goodall and Larry Duckworth. Well, one thing is certain. At the foot of the cross, there is no room, no place for racism. Indeed, the central theme of the anti-racism movement in the United States was this: Jesus taught us to love our neighbor as ourselves. Thus, we cannot tolerate racism anywhere it exists. As such, the famous coin distributed by anti-slavery Christians in England and America bears the image of Jesus standing with a black man and a white man, both kneeling on equal footing. This is a powerful visual of what Christianity represents, that Jesus sees all people as equal, that we will all give an account to God for how we treated those created in His image and likeness. We're coming to a station break. On the other side of the break, we'll go to your calls and over to dial 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. And thanks for standing shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth. Be right back.
When the psalmist invited us to come and hear, he was inviting us to enjoy the goodness of God with him. Jackie Hill Perry believes that her book, Gay Girl, Good God, is no different. Every word, sentence, and paragraph are an explanation of how good God has been to her. The same God who did something wonderful to the soul of the psalmist, and the same God who did an equally beautiful thing to her soul, He is, even now, more than able to do the same for you and every soul alive. To receive your copy of Gay Girl, Good God, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff will be back right after this. A deeper understanding of the Bible's principles and truths will improve the spiritual, moral, and ethical problems facing our nation. Yet the obstacle isn't that the Bible doesn't speak to our greatest needs or answer our deepest questions. It's that the average person lacks the time and tools to extract the answers. That's why Hank Hanegraaff wrote the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated. This expanded edition addresses over 210 of the top questions he's received as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Hank has taken the complex and made it simple and memorable. Receive the revised and updated complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. In the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who are the Antichrist and the Great Whore of Babylon? And what is the real meaning of 666? Order the Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI.
Jackie Hill Perry used to be a lesbian. In Gay Girl, Good God, she shares her story of embracing masculinity and homosexuality with every fiber of her being. She knew the Christian worldview on sexual identity, but how was she supposed to stop loving women when homosexuality felt more natural to her than heterosexuality ever could? Ultimately, Jackie came face to face with what it meant to be made new. God broke in and turned her heart toward Him right in her own bedroom through the light of His gospel. Read Gay Girl, Good God in order to understand. Read in order to hope. Or read in order, like Jackie, to be made new. To receive your copy of Gay Girl Good God, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org.
Once again, here is Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Let's go to our phone callers. First up is Mark, listening in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. Hi, Mark.
Hank, I know that you don't believe in predestination in the Calvinist sense, and neither do I, but it seems to me that there may be a kind of predestination on another level, and that's the level of the fact that some people have a very strong tendency to righteousness, and then others have a very strong tendency to unrighteousness. Most of us, of course, are somewhere in the middle, but there are those two extremes where some people are just incorrigibly wicked, it seems, and others are just like they can basically do no wrong in the sense of they're just naturally righteous. So how does that fit in with the Calvinist view?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't necessarily follow the premise of the question. I think the heart is deceitful. It is wicked beyond anything that we can fathom. And that is why we need the grace of God. And that is why God offers himself to us through the revelation of creation, through the revelation of conscience, and ultimately through the revelation of God in human form. So I don't think that we can say that some are inherently righteous and some are inherently wicked. I think we are all born and conceived in sin, and therefore we all need the grace of God.
I agree with that, Hank. I agree with that. But what I'm saying, though, is that like there are soil. Some soil is bad soil and some soil is good soil. There are some trees that are good trees that cannot bring forth bad fruit, and there are some batteries that just cannot bring forth good fruit. So it seems like there is a kind, like we all need grace. We're all fallen sinners. The best of men are men at best. But you can see that Jesus did speak about good soil and bad soil, which is just the soil just the way it is. It has what it takes or it doesn't have what it takes. And there are some trees that have what it takes and other trees that don't have what it takes. And so from that perspective, how would you reply to that?
Well, I think you have to look at context. So one of the passages you bring up is the passage that is found in the Great Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 7. Well, what's the context of the trees? The context of the trees is false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. So this is not about some trees that are inherently good and some trees that are inherently bad. Jesus is using this illustration to say that you will know someone by the fruit that they possess, not just by outward appearances, because it's so easy to deceive other people. There are those who put on a show of virtue or religiosity, and they're more dangerous sometimes than those who are evil outright. Thus, we must be more cautious among those who are outwardly virtuous, because we can easily be fooled. So Jesus is now using a context here, and the context is how to discern and therefore stay away from false prophets. A false prophet is someone who has rejected the way of God, so they speak easily from the wickedness of their own hearts. Therefore, by their fruits, by their false teaching, you're going to know them. This has nothing whatsoever to do with the question of free will. We're not Pelagians who don't need God or grace. We need both God and grace. And, of course, Jesus, in many places throughout the Scriptures, points to the necessity of our will. Jerusalem, for example, says, Jesus, you who killed the prophets and stoned those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. The will plays a very large part, not only in Christian theology, but also in Scripture. Scripture properly understood.
But the good soil and the bad soil, though, Hank, what about that?
Well, there is that soil that is good, where the heart is now responding to the grace of God. But this in no way presupposes that it is not responding. It is responding to the grace of God. The instrument by which it responds is faith. And obviously, when we respond in faith, then we are prepared for the good works that have been destined for us to do.
Right. Okay, well, thank you, Hank. That's good. Thank you.
You got it. Let's go back to the phone lines. Talk to Sam in Kirkland, Washington, listening on KCIS. Hi, Sam.
Hi, doing today, Hank?
Doing well, thank you.
I have a question for you. I was talking to a gentleman, a friend, and we were talking about the book of Revelations. And I said, you know, I keep reading it, and I have a study Bible, King James study Bible. I said, I keep going back to. And I said, you know, there's still stuff, you know, that my mind can't comprehend. And then he said, and he confesses to being a Christian, he said, well, you'll never understand it. And I said, why is that? And he said, well, it is all in mathematical Christian code, and it can only be broken out to where you can understand through mathematical way. And I just looked at him, and I didn't have an answer. You know, I just changed the subject right then. Have you ever heard of anything like that?
Yeah, and I think there's a grain of truth to it. There's a grain of truth to it in that John does use numbers. He not only uses numbers effectively in the Gospel of John, but also in the book of Revelation. So it does help to understand how John is using those numbers. But how do you understand that? Well, the way you understand that is reading Revelation in light of the rest of Scripture. So the code breaker is not necessarily mathematical maxims, but rather biblical verities which are expressed through the use of numbers. So John is famous for using the number 7. He's also famous for using the number 12 and its multiples. So for example, John talks about the 144,000 in Revelation. And he uses that number advisedly as 12 times 12 times 1,000. And that becomes a way for him to express a truth. The truth that the New Jerusalem itself is figuratively built on the foundation of the 12 apostles. It's entered through 12 gates, inscribed with the names of 12 tribes of Israel. And not only that, but its walls are 12 times 12, or 144 cubits thick. As such, it's far more likely that this 144,000 is a number that represents the 12 apostles of the Lamb multiplied by the 12 tribes of Israel times the number 1,000, which he uses also in the book of Revelation. And by the way, the figurative use of the number 12 and its multiples is well established, as I was alluding to earlier, in biblical history. For example, the tree of life is said to bear 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the great Presbyterian heaven is surrounded by 24 elders. And likewise, the figurative use of whole numbers like 1,000 is common in Old Testament usage. So again, the code breaker is always the Old Testament. So if you want to understand what John is doing in the book of Revelation, or in his gospel, or in his epistles, all three of them, well, you have to read Scripture in light of Scripture. And if you're confused by any of that, it's always very, very helpful to go back to what was the interpretation of the early church, because that gives us a sense of what is being said in a book of the Bible, as opposed to these new and novel interpretations that are springing up over and over again in the 21st century.
Well, this is more clear. The way he said it, why he didn't describe it the way you do, now it makes sense. Now I understand where he was going with it. So, Thank you so much. Thank you. Cleared that up for me very much.
Well, you're absolutely welcome. Thank you so much for calling today. We're almost out of time for the first broadcast of the week. And this is going to be a very special week. Towards the end of the week, we're going to feature discussions with Jackie Hill Perry on the book Gay Girl, Good God. I can't think of a more relevant subject to discuss in this epoch of time. And by the way, Gay Girl, Good God, The Story of Who I Was and How God Has Always Been by Jackie Hill Perry, available to those who stand shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth. You can get your copy on the web at equip.org, or, as I mentioned at the outset, you can contact us at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The book available for those who stand shoulder to shoulder with us, prayerfully and financially, in the battle for life and truth. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you tomorrow with more.
Thank you for listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Concerning those struggling with sexuality, you and I have an opportunity to demonstrate the love of Christ and share the life-transforming power of biblical truth. Gay Girl, Good God by Jackie Hill Perry tells a powerful story of transformation and hope that multitudes today urgently need to hear. To receive your copy of Gay Girl, Good God, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit us at equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because truth matters and life matters more. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive collection of the most often asked as well as most difficult questions Hank Hanegraaff has received in nearly three decades of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. This expanded edition contains new entries, leading readers to a better understanding of God and our relationship to Him in Jesus Christ. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive, handy, and attractive volume that you will return to again and again. Take your exploration of God's Word to new heights and receive the Revised and Updated Complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org.